Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and my goodness, if you missed the first hour, you got to catch up. But we're talking about what happened to the United Nations and what God is doing in this day and speaking to us, and you're going to be encouraged. Also sharing with us a word of wisdom and his abiding moment, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
We're so excited about being here this morning to talk to you. We give a big shout out to our listeners this morning in Texas. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Javon, praise the Lord. God is good. You got a quarter on you? You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton and Chris. My goodness, we're just talking about so many things that are taking place right now in regards to the prophetic fulfillment of the end times. I mean, you think about it, it's quickly. And, you know, that even though, you know, we can be walking right before God individually, or as a group of believers, you know, and there are people in America, all over America, who love God and love Israel and are walking right before God. But as a nation as a whole, you know, a nation can be judged for how it makes a decision as a nation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, how America just responded to Israel, mm-hmm. how our president was in the United Nations, and he said very specifically that the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
And we're talking about, you know, what does that mean? It means very specifically that, you know, and they consider blaspheme, not just slander. Blaspheme is when you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, yeah, we can coexist. You can't coexist. Just saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, they consider that blasphemy if they get the rule of law for the United Nations that you cannot. And this is what they're working on. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's already signed this thing in the United Nations. She's already signed it, mm-hmm. saying that you cannot speak against the prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
She signed it. Now he shows up, the president shows up and says, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, the very thing that she signed already in the United Nations. So now he's speaking, confirming that was my will for this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And we understand now that, you know, saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, mm-hmm. is blaspheming.
Right.
Muhammad. Mm. You know, in the Quran in Surah 1068, they say, this is what it says. They said, Allah has begotten a son. Remember, Allah, you could say God.
Mm-hmm.
Their God. God had begotten a son. And they say this. Mm-hmm. In his exclamation mark. They say that Allah had begotten a son. Be he glorified. He is the most rich. To him belongs everything in heaven and on earth. That's what they're writing. You have no proof to support such blasphemy. Are you saying about Allah what you don't even know? Say, those who forge a lie against Allah shall not be successful. And the call to prayer talks about success.
Mm-hmm.
A little enjoyment in this world, and then to us, will be the return. Then shall we make them taste the severe penalty of their blasphemy. The future must not belong to the Jews and the Christians.
Mm.
That's what he's saying.
Wow.
And somebody says, you need to hear the entirety of what he said. Well, no, the entirety of what he said was, to be fair, we need to respond that way to these other prophets. But it doesn't matter. You have to understand, if you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you violated, I mean, you're not going to be in his future. If he had his way based on what he's saying, just imagine. If he had his way based on what he said and what she signed and what we're seeing take place based on his presence in Cairo and what the care and the blind sheik and all the things that are taking place, and Congressman Michelle Bachmann, you got to go listen to that, where, you know, allegedly that Islam has infiltrated our government. You can see that on the VFN Torch. You had all this up, and it's not good for JJ.
Right.
You know, there's an article on the VFN Torch. You have to understand the context of everything needs to be measured by the reality of the Jews and Jesus. Even though Jesus is a Jew, he's the church, the firstborn amongst the church. And so when you say JJ, we're talking about Jews and Jesus. You can say, when everybody finishes everything, you're going to have to always ask the question, what about JJ? You know?
Right.
Because this whole plot and strategy, if it's of the adversary, is to destroy and annihilate and remove JJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't matter how much, I mean, Jesus was told himself by Satan that if you bow down and worship me, these kingdoms have been given to me and I'll give them to you. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say, you're lying. No. Because when man fell and gave the authority to Satan in the garden, that's when he was given the authority that he didn't have. And so when he told Jesus, they were given to me, he wasn't lying to Jesus, but Jesus could care less what was given to him. And he was not going to worship God, his father, and he wasn't going to worship Satan. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going to find things crank up as things get closer and closer, and you'll find out that just great provision and stimuli and the transference of wealth or whatever, as long as you bow the knee to Satan,
mm-hmm.
to the Antichrist. If, in fact, saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God is considered blasphemy because that Islam does not believe that Jesus, that God had a son,
right.
You know, they would say God did not have a son, or they would say Allah did not have a son. And with that, they're denying him. And so there's contrast right there. So they're denying Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Right.
Okay. Anti-Christ. But it's a religion, right?
Right.
So it's an anti-Christ, anti-Jesus religion, right?
That's right.
It's an anti-JJ religion, by the way. It's anti-Jesus and Jews religion. And you think, why could they be so fierce? How could they be so driven to so obviously in front of everybody hate the Christians and the Jews? It's because what has a hold of them? They believe the opposite of the gospel. And you can go and look at Islam versus Christianity, the Bible versus the Quran on the VFN Torch, and see them side by side. And you can watch, we have a movie in there, very interesting documentary that helps you put the two side by side and understand that they believe the opposite. Well, we're believing our Savior Jesus is going to be coming from heaven. They believe that theirs is going to be coming from a hole in the ground in Mecca.
Right.
Where we believe that the beast is going to come and set up an economy that you can't buy or sell without it. It's going to put a mark on you. We see that as a very negative thing. They say that their God's going to come out of the ground. That's Mecca. They're marching around that hole in the ground mm-hmm. in Mecca. And that's where the Quran was given, I believe by angel, they say, was given to Muhammad. That's what mm-hmm. they allegedly say. And so they're waiting for him to come there. So you may say, who wrote that book?
Right.
So then, he's going to come out of the ground. He's going to put a mark on them that separates them from those who are not part of Islam, not part of Allah's family.
Mm-hmm.
And they see it as a positive thing because they believe the opposite of that, which makes sense. This is, you think, who would war against Jesus coming back? Who would make war against Jesus? The war's already been set up. It's the Bible versus the Quran. They believe that Jesus is going to come back and they're going to make war with their God against him. And they're going to be trying to kill Jesus. And but he says, but then the blood will be all the way up to the bridles of the horses. And the reason why somebody can do that is because they actually believe that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he's an enemy of their God, which I would say he probably, yeah, he is.
Right.
And, but he is the son of God, but he's definitely not, you know, if it's this demonic thing, for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, things are being set up right now, like end time religion. And when you look at Revelation, it says that, that under the throne of God, you know, the beheaded martyrs,
mm-hmm.
the beheaded martyrs, and it still wasn't full yet. And one of the punishments, you know, for Islam, you know, is a beheading. And, you know, Pastor Youssef was, you know, popular thanks to the ACLUJ and what they did. But every day, Christians are losing their life because they stand up for God.
Right.
You know, we just happened to see that particular one. There's a lot of men and women in jail in Iran based on that. So I want to encourage you. Listen, our president just stood up and said this before the world, and he said the future does not belong. If you're a Christian, listen, this VFN Radio is for the Christian, for the one's gone astray, for the one that's being drawn to God, you know, to the church. And so understand this. He doesn't see you in the future.
Right.
But notice that, that whatever was on Hitler, he didn't see the Jews as someone to be in the future. Right?
That's right.
Whatever came over him, and listen, that kind of hate and that kind of malice means somebody's overtaken with something. You know what I'm saying? One man can't conjure that much hate, but they can be, you know, they can be like legion and have like, you know, the one man that had 1,000 different demonic strongholds. And they didn't see the Jews in the future. They wanted to annihilate and destroy all the Jews. Hello, church. There are brothers and sisters. Yeah. We have been grafted into the vine, that we need to get God's perspective of Israel and understand that they have a veil over the ones that have not yet believed. They have a veil over their eyes, and God's about to lift that veil. And once the full number of the Gentiles come in, which I don't know when that's going to be, but it seems like, my goodness, things are happening so quickly, you know, that we got to pay close attention. It does matter. We should compare compassionately. What happens to Israel when our president, that the majority of Americans voted to put in office, that represent our country, stands against Christians and Jews, and he says he's a Christian, but when he says the future doesn't belong to those who actually, you know, slander Islam, mm-hmm. prophet, and Islam's prophet says that his book, the Quran, says, which is the word that he said he got, says that to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not only to slander, but to blaspheme him. It's a you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lose-lose situation. Remember, they even say this person's a loser.
Yeah.
It says in the Quran. Yeah. It's a loser that says that. And think about it. You're looking at somebody who's jealous. You're looking at, you know, the spirit of jealousy that's on Satan. And the, you know, Ishmael and Jacob. And the jealousy and the embitterness that's happened over the years, and the only that kind of hate can only come from jealousy, you know. And Satan was jealous day one. He was jealous day one when he wanted the glory that God was getting, and he wanted it,
mm-hmm.
and he got thrown out of heaven. And so his jealousy didn't go away; it just fueled. And now mm-hmm. he's jealous of you having a relationship with God that he can't have anymore. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he wants to annihilate you. He wants to destroy anybody who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He loses, by the way, in the end, but understand that he's going to make war with the saints. He's going to make war. And so our president just stood up before all the nations of the world, right after our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, signed an agreement that you shouldn't blaspheme or speak against the prophet Muhammad. And said, I'm in agreement with this, and I don't see this in the future. Listen, we need to wake up. Be right back.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more, and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation, and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out vfnu.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life, and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part, and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at vfnu.org.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. I was like, oh, my goodness. You love those like 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today and the text sends a text message and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Just text VFN TV to the number 22828. That's VFN TV to the number 22828.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. Okay, Chris, that's enough. That was so cool. I like the way you did that, man. It's so cool, man. He's spitting a tune over there, you know. I was hoping John would have spit out a tune when we were talking about it, you know. He was he was really into hip-hop and all of that. You got to hear his testimony. It's pretty cool. You know, Pat, talk to us this morning. You know, as we all seek to abide with the Lord ask God to speak to us about our day and what's going on. What's God saying to you, man?
Yeah, well, I was just recently reading in 2 Chronicles and talking about King Asa and his life. And it was very, very relevant, especially where we are. A lot of us individuals, when we get a time of peace or rest or we get complacent, we think, you know, we get prideful and start thinking, I don't need to abide this morning, or I don't need to pray anymore, you know, or whatever the case may be. And we get prideful and start to align our own.
Is that where you've been?
No. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You can get complacent where you're at, you know. And
you can?
Yeah, believe it or not.
All right.
So I'm reading about King Asa, and, you know, he did awesome things for God. He was a righteous man. He tore down all the Asherah poles that had been up, and he had
false
altars and all this false worship that was going on in the day. And he was king over Judah, and he was obviously they were at odds with with Israel at the time, which is another, the land was divided basically in those days. And he saw God, you know, when their enemies would come against them. And matter of fact, over a million men were coming against them at this one time. He saw God because they were outnumbered like 2-1. You know, they only had like 500,000 in his army. And, the enemy was coming against them, was a million. So, you know, he prayed to God. God answered, delivered them. You know, they won the battle. Well, then it talks about this long period of time where there was no war. And it says in his 35th year of his reign, and instead of seeking God, when this next thing arose, he started just doing things on his own. You know, he went to basically the enemy of my enemy kind of thing is my friend. And he sought the world for help instead of seeking God. And God was not pleased with that.
Right.
And what happened was he just, you know, just totally left God at that point. And
he got real familiar with
got
God.
Got real familiar. And then, of course, God
had God all figured out.
God, he did, yeah. So God, you know, sent a prophet to tell him, you know, look, I'm not pleased with this.
God
you
sends know. Prophets.
I believe that.
Isn't that you good, though?
Yeah.
He warns us before something happens. He's so loving and so
that was just it. God was warning. He said, look, you know, you can turn back. So what ended up happening was he got prideful. So God warned him. And then he ended up getting this wasting foot disease, you know, and he had an opportunity to repent. And he didn't. He starts seeking physicians and, you know, looking for other, you know, ways to help him instead of seeking God.
Right.
So within 2 years, he dies, you know, and that's it.
Right.
And it just made me think about, you know, how, you know, especially in the church and as America and where we are right now, we're at a threshold, we're at the threshing floor and where we should be. I mean, we're at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are we going to seek God or not? Are we going to seek his face? Or are we just going to just, you know, stay in our little boxes and thinking everything's just going to be fine. Oh, that's just them over there or what have you. And are we really going to get on our face and start seeking him and, you know, say, God, we repent. Forgive me my sins. You know, forgive me for my pride.
That's good.
And
we just forget. You know, so you hear people say, oh, I'll never forget where I came from.
Exactly. And that just reminded me, you know, God, I know where you brought me from. I don't want to revisit it. You know,
yeah.
I thank God for everything that you've given me and how you've blessed me and taken care of my family. And
do you remember where you brought you from?
Second Street. Come on. Anything good come from Second Street?
There was just a shooting and a thing that happened there, or stabbing.
Yeah.
So there's a little marital dispute.
Yeah, a little bit. So it was just a reminder to me, you know, stay humble, you know. Don't get lax. Don't get lazy. Don't think everything's just status quo.
Yeah.
You know, that's when, you know, when you fall asleep, that's when it hits.
It's so strange. I mean, it's things that you just, you know, the human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just human nature of, it is like, I guess the most dangerous times are comfort, when there's comfort and convenience, times of blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They say that military does not get in trouble until their own liberty.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not on the, when they're on the front lines, you know, the soldiers in the same foxhole, for example, I mean, they're not getting in trouble. They realize I need my brother needs me, and we, mm-hmm. you know, the enemy's there, not us. But when they get on liberty, and the very same guys that were fighting for each other would lay down their life for each other, now killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was one other thing mm-hmm. I wanted to mention. You know, instead of seeking God, when this enemy arose, he took money out of the treasury. He took what was dedicated to God.
Tried to buy him off, didn't he?
Bought him off with what was God's.
Took God's tithe.
Took God's stuff.
Oh, took his tithes and offerings and said, okay, here, I'll tell you what. Yep. If you let me keep my house, if you don't take away my car, if you don't, has the American church done that? If only 3%?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's something.
Took what was God's, trying to buy off the enemy so that they wouldn't lose things and mm-hmm. stuff. And
yeah.
And that, you know, human nature, it's like you have to do things to stay alert. You know, when I was a police officer, I just wouldn't go straight from a still passive state and just go from that to get in my cruiser to go to work. I would, you know, listen to music. I would do things that would raise my tempo up
because
I'm fixing to go have to be alert. You know, you can't just be groggy and go stop a burglary or something. You know, you have, you're going to battle. You're going to a possible situation. You listen, you know, to soldiers, stuff that they listen to on their iPod. They're, they, things that, that crank them up and get them, because they understand, I have to stay alert. If I don't stay alert, and the Lord says, watch and pray so you don't fall. I mean, it's not wrong to do what you got to do to stay alert. And the thing about it is get in the battle. I mean, there's nobody more critical than the people who never fight the good fight of faith. The people who sit for 20 years, the person who sits 20 years on a pew or a chair or whatever and never did anything and criticizes everything that was ever done in that fellowship for God. Or they could have sung longer, or they should have done this, or they shouldn't have spent money there. And it's like, what have you done? You've been living in liberty while other people fought the good fight of faith. Listen, if you want to stay in the battle, you know, and that's so, you know, right on point, you know, with King Asa, that we have to do things to stay alert. And the easiest way to stay alert is don't swim in water that you can touch the ground. Yeah. Stay in water that's over your head. Keep yourself in a place that you have to trust God. Somebody says, well, why is it always so difficult for you? Well, you stay in the easy, shallow water and look at the struggle you're having here. That is not my, I don't have that struggle. And that you'll stay awake. You'll stay awake. What they found out was this. It was one particular friend of mine was shipping seafood to Tennessee. He would catch seafood in the Gulf of Mexico, and then he would ship it to, like, Tennessee. And when it got there, it was dead. And he had to figure out how to keep it alive so it could be alive when he got there and get his money for it. And what he did was he put a fish in there. He was going to ship the fish that he wanted them to have, but he's going to put another fish in that fish that was the enemy of the fish he wanted to live. And so that fish had to stay alert. The one that he was getting money for would stay alert, because if he went to sleep, he would die. This one would kill him. But yet when he was alone, the fish died. But he stayed alive because he fought. And it's real simple to do. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. It's a great expectation of God. We're supposed to be in the harvest field. But yeah, granted, if you're involved in a particular expression who does not empower you and teach you how to do it, you know, you chose to be where you're at. You know, one day you moved in town and you looked at a phone book and you go, okay, here's one. You know, or somebody knocked on your door and say, hey, come and visit us. And but you chose, at some point, you chose to be there. So you can't blame where you are on God because of the people that you chose to be around. You chose to be around them. You can start with your own personal transformation. You can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and go for personal, type in personal transformation at the upper right-hand search area. And you'll hear a segment talking about how I can start with me. And that whole body there, you can be the epicenter of change and bring in transformation to the body of fellowship that you're with. But understand, you can't blame the people you're around. You chose to be around them. And if they don't change, choose to be around someone else who's actually staying in the harvest field. It's a wonderful place to be. Yeah, you're in a place where there's a lot of darkness. And yes, you know, that you're, you know, Paul talks about, I was shipwrecked and these things happened and, you know, and all these different negative things. But people became believers, and we're here today because Paul was faithful. And you got to go through some stuff. Yeah, but that's what we're called to do. It's not look at some of the God's option. It's not opt in or opt out. But, you know, 95% statistics say of American Christians don't win one person to the Lord in their entire life. I mean, think about it. Just aim. People say, "Well, oh, you only witnessing to three people, and you only got one person saved." It's like, I'm in the top 5% of the American church.
That's all.
And it's so crazy. It's like if somebody says, "If you can't win 100, then don't win one."
Right.
And it's like, serious? What about the one that you win? What if you're the one that they win? That's silly. That's demonic. That's a demonic lie. Just get busy in the harvest field. You're not responsible for their response, but you're responsible for your response to the Great Commission of God. He said for all of us to go into the harvest field and to preach the kingdom of God. and to baptize those who believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And to disciple them, to teach them to the ways of God and to walk in those ways. And God will work with us, confirming his word. And with that, that's what we're called to do. Whether they respond or not, that's just up to them. He just says, dust the dust off your feet. So it's not, it's, you don't measure your success in God based on people's responses. You measure your success in God is, are you obeying God? And the sad thing about it in America right now, and we've found this out over the years, you know, everybody that professes to know God don't want to hear from him. Not everybody that professes, let me say it different. Not everybody who professes to know God wants to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody who professes and meets religiously in the name of God cares what God has to say about their life. Not everyone. People, not everyone is as excited as we are about abiding with God and adjusting our life accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, you know, the naivety was, oh, everybody's going to want to know the Lord's voice and everybody's going to go to the top of the mountain, you know, and they're going to hear his voice and they're going to get so excited and they're going to hear the great shepherds like, oh, many don't even want to know.
Mm-mm.
And only 18% are reading. It's major. Mm. But the biggest thing of all is, and God speaks about these folks, are the ones who are leading the sheep. Why aren't we upset about that? We're upset about politics. We're upset about decisions congressmen are making or whatever. But how can we not upset about us? We're saying, why aren't you preaching against sin? Why aren't we giving our real testimonies that tells people that we are saved by grace? But yet, because of the empowerment of the cross of Christ, you know, that we can walk this thing out through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Why are we contented with somebody hanging around the cross and lying to them and telling them that they're going to have access to God and in heaven, they're going to make it in when they don't even know him?
Mm-hmm.
See, there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man, you shall live.
Right.
So we should be upset. And God can be in your community moving powerfully. And yes, even though you're very religious, you could actually be missing him and judging him and totally thinking you're totally right. And this was proof positive with Israel. Jesus, born in a manger, walked the streets of Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, you know, and they didn't even know him. And they said that they were the ones that were right. And they kept on going in their buildings. And Jesus is like, I'm here. I'm Emmanuel, God in the flesh.
Right.
And they looked at what was right and they called it wrong. They looked at Jesus, the Son of God, and they called him Satan. Why they found security in a building.
Right.
And it's like, it is possible. You know, just open, broaden your thought here. And it's like, broaden your get God out of a box for a moment here, your box, and say, okay, that did happen. Which means I got to pay attention. And Jesus, you know, a particular man wrote a book, and I can't remember the author, but the name of the book was Jesus Left the Building.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of buildings that, you know, Jesus left, not all, and a building does not determine right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you know, preached in the synagogues and temple. But the whole thing is this, that when he did, they wanted to kill him. And they just thought they were right, religiously right with God, and they called God Satan. So it's possible that God could be moving in your city and you can be very religious. I mean, you're working yourself hard with your Easter play stuff going on, your Christmas play, you know, and you're trying to show up early. You're like this armor bearer dude and you're helping people out. I mean, you got like a little museum going on of past things that happen. I mean, all kinds of things could be going on. And you could be very religious, but not know God.
Yeah.
And be missing Jesus. And the time is coming and has now come that you're going to have to know him. And we've kind of gone through that King Asa season where, you know, America's been blessed for an extended period of time, and you can start taking all this for granted and forget how we got here and assume that since the Jews were right in saying that we are God's chosen people, and they were right, and that he did give us the Torah, and they're right, you know, all of a sudden we can say, because all our history's right, then our present is right. Because my grandfather was right, I'm right. Because my dad or my mom was right, I'm right. Because originally when this church was birthed, it was right. Therefore, because I'm going to it, I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, where are you getting that from? You're supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you personally. Personally, you have to have a relationship with him. And you should want to. That's what this is not about, having a relationship with some sort of denomination or non-denomination or some, you know, organization. It's about you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you stand alone, as you always hear me say. No witnesses, no suspects. You can't bring in your pastor and point at him or her and say it's their fault. You know, they are the ones. You know, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're hearing you're responsible. So what are you going to do with that? You know, what are you going to do with that? Right. So I want to encourage you. That's just an awesome word, Pat, you know, about King Asa. And things were going so good until he got so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then he couldn't shake himself enough to do what was right.
Couldn't do it.
And what could have lasted ended within 2 years.
Yep.
Which goes to show you that God can be with a nation. And the nation can choose, God's people in that nation can choose to do what's wrong, and then God says it's over.
Yep.
If it happened to Israel, it can happen to us in America. Be right back. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, mm-hmm. Began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right.
and what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere. There's 1/6 of the world's population that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive.
Mm-hmm.
That with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling, because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place, where you're just not going to try to study the Bible, because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial. It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. you're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris as we're coming towards the end. I want to be able to share the wisdom of, before I first do that, I want to be able to talk about, I remember the day, and I thank God for every memory. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes, as most Southerners say, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. Okay, you remember. But that, you know, I've been keeping since 19, I don't know, whatever, you know, written planners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole thing, you know, we could probably share that to help you out in the future for those, you know, for careers and looking for jobs. And mm-hmm. we got some good things to really help you out on the VFN Torch and Highlights. If you go there and just search for a job or career or how to get a job, some things, some wisdom, man, to get a job. But, you know, writing down your vision and, you know, your direction and planning out your day and prioritizing your day is a very, you know, important thing. But also keeping all your information with you. There was a day, you know, that you would write it all down and you'd carry your planner with you.
Mm-hmm.
And inside that planner, it had everything. I mean, you had credit card numbers, maybe. You had birth dates. You had Social Security numbers. You had appointments that you had. You had everybody's name, address,
numbers,
phone numbers,
yeah.
and different things to communicate with them. And it was all in that one planner, pretty much, you know, just the basics of it and some of it. And you'd have this concern, you know, we'd think, oh my goodness, if I was to lose this, you know, somebody would have access to all this information.
Right.
And that wouldn't be good. Plus,
right.
that's my memory, you know.
Right.
And so you think about, I remember Roger years ago leaving his on the roof of his car.
Is that Roger or me?
Oh, it could have been you.
I don't think it was.
I don't think you would have. You can't stand a napkin on the floorboard. You're not going to leave your planner somewhere.
You'd be surprised. I've left my keys in ignition before.
That's where they go.
Well, not when you want to keep it secure and you leave
it. Wow. Welcome to my world. Anyway, so the. And so somebody would take your planner. They could have all this information. Of course, you would put a page in the front of your planner that says, if you happen to find everything about me, this book, could you please call me so I can come pick it up? You can mail it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this kind of like, you know, oh, I can't lose that. If I lose that, somebody's going to get it. So rest, so great today. It's just so beautiful that we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to worry about somebody taking our planner mm-hmm. where we've written down things.
Right.
We can keep it where it's safe on our computers. And we let Google keep it for us and all of our contacts. And we just keep it all online where it's safe. And nobody will take your information there.
Oh,
that, you know, keep it in your Facebook and your Google accounts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's, you know, thank God you don't have to carry around a written planner where everything was at risk. You were going to lose something, right?
Right.
And, is that not crazy?
Yeah.
And now corporations are keeping your planners for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can definitely trust them. I was just watching the founder of Facebook go over and meet the former president of the Soviet Union
mm-hmm.
and work with him, kind of cutting a deal
right.
with the Russian. I'm thinking, all that data.
It's over.
All that data. Well, hello, Gog and Magog. And so can't think of the guy's name, but the founder of Facebook was over there talking to him. So he put the picture of him and not Vladimir. That would be the other one. But
Putin.
Putin. No. Putin's president. I'm just going to blank right now, but it was a former president.
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. It was the one was Putin's
Russia.
Puppet. One of anyway, I barely speak English, much less Russian. And so it's, you know, thank God we can keep all of our information on a digital database and carry it around on, you know, cell phones and iPads where it's safe, where AT&T keeps our stuff safe and Apple
yeah.
and the Android. I mean, Android, by the way, is Google, and Google's been able to keep your data real safe in the gulag out in the... I mean, it's just all over the place.
Right.
And it makes you think, what was I thinking? Because when you wrote it on a piece of paper, nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you. And if only one person, if one person stole your planner and shared it with 100 people or 1,000 people, you still would be like, you know, equal to the Secret Service and ability to keep a secret. I mean, very few people would know it. But Dad, you have like a 10-year-old searching people's information and finding out everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of makes you want to go back and think, you know, that wisdom of keeping a paper planner wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and the truth is, we're just not that smart anyway. Somebody says, well, I do so much stuff, I can't write it down. Really? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That when you start writing down, you find out, I got to find out what matters most, and I'm only going to do what matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about you being involved in your day, in your decision making, and checking things off, mm-hmm. and that it fits in the context with your life, and scheduling your day. I mean, if you don't have a plan, if a man does not have a plan, he's at the mercy of the demon
that does.
Mm-hmm. Or the person who's controlled by their flesh that does. You know, your lack of planning on your behalf does not mean there's an emergency on my behalf.
Right.
But if you don't plan your day, you'll be living in everybody's emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Sky's falling. It's like, I'll get with you at 5 because I don't handle sky falling till 5. You know, they just run by the fire, you know, the seat of their pants.
Mm-hmm.
And they say 3% of the people who reach their goals and are successful in life, that control, that end up having 70% of the wealth or something of that nature, they did a study, are people that wrote down their goals and planned their day. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
3%. It's like 3% of the ones that are really into life. I mean, it's amazing the 3% that kind of goes everywhere, don't it?
Yeah.
What's up with this other 97%? So I want to encourage you, you know, think about delving into the concept. This is going to blow you away. We're already talking about abiding with God with a pen, a blank journal, and a Bible, you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing God meet you and talk to people like you and reveal himself to you. But also think about beginning to plan your day again. Say if your computer was to crash, or you know, there's things you just didn't need to go out there and let Google keep, mm-hmm. that you could put in your planner and plan your day. Imagine this. Imagine if you had no computers, no digital Bibles, but yet you had your Bible, your journal, and your planner. Mm-hmm. And you could be anywhere in the world with no electricity, with electricity, any type of form of government. And you can plan, you can still be successful.
Yeah, you can survive.
You can survive. But if everything you got is depended digitally, did you see yesterday the White House was hacked,
mm-hmm.
by computer hackers in China, right?
Yeah.
The White House. The codes and all this stuff they're talking about.
Wow.
They were hacked. So you really think your social security number, your last 4 digits of your social security number, and your date of birth. Well, that's really covert password. Do you think they're not already hacked into that stuff already?
Mm-hmm.
I already want to encourage you, you know, value-based vision management. Hopefully we'll share that, you know, soon on VFN Radio and make it available on VFN TV. But we have to get back involved in planning our lives again. It's fun. It really is. I mean, you'd be surprised when you finally get a hold of your day, because most people live in dread and regret. They regret how they lived yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they're dreading what tomorrow is about, and they never live in the now where God exists. And with that, therefore, they never achieve anything. And God's called us to be visionaries. He's created us in his image and his likeness. Listen, if you believe it, if you confess it, if you're lining up with the will of God, you're going to begin to see things come to pass in your life. But the way to defeat you is to keep you confused and let somebody else plan your day and manage your data and manage your information. Get involved in your life. Get involved. You'll be surprised what you can do. Yes, the 97% are going to talk about you, but it's okay. They'll forget tomorrow because they don't plan anything.
Right.
And they'll be surprised. Why? Because some people make things happen. Some people think about making things happen. But as I always say, most people are finding maybe 97% wonder what happened. Well, God bless. We've reached the end of the extra hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You've been listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget about VFNTV.com. And also look at the VFN highlights, VFN Radio highlights on your application as they're migrating to VFN TV app 3.0, which will be fully here very, very soon. And check out the new highlights. They're beautiful. VFNTV.com or Google Play Store or iTunes Store. God bless you. Don't forget about 24/7 today. VFN Radio.